Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Woo! Here we go! Fireworks, drama, storylines. Who's going to be the champion? We've got AFC, NFC, Super Bowl 56 right here in Los Angeles. Just how many days, Kyle?
5 days away, my friends.
Don't you feel like we're in a cave here?
Yeah.
Hello, hello, ooh. hello. Look at our studio here right outside.
So bro.
Oh, Shrek, these moves. Oh, boy.
You didn't know that?
The camera moves.
We were spinning yesterday.
Oh, boy. We should do an obstacle
scooter in gym class.
Something zany like that.
It sounds like a segment.
Look out. We have a parachute, too. We're going to do it. It's going to be awesome.
Oh. Mr. Schrager, why do you look tan to me? What happened to you?
One day in L.A.? I'm in Los Angeles. It's 4 a.m. right now.
Live.
And yeah, I feel good. D'Angelo Hall, you have been very talkative this morning already.
I've been chilling. Yeah. I'm chilling, guys. I'm saving it all to give it to you guys.
D'Angelo, you're one of those guys that can sleep. I can't sleep since I've gotten here. I literally have not slept. You can sleep everywhere and anywhere. I've seen you sleep on the couch.
I've seen you sleep in the chair. Eyes anywhere.
All right. Well, there's that. Should we start the show?
No. Yeah, let's do it.
What would you like to do? Okay,
we got
lots of fun. Lots of fun. Angry runs. You got cool plays, bro. It is time for the lead
block. It's time for the lead block, finally.
Let's do it. And let's welcome in our incredible reporters who are up at the crack of dawn to hang out with us. Actually, it's not even dawn yet. The sun is not yet up. But we've got Taylor Bisciotti in Los Angeles with the Rams at their hotel in Manhattan Beach. Aditi still in Cincinnati. And I start with you. This fan rally, pep rally, whatever you want to call it, right there in the heart of Cincinnati at Paul Brown Stadium last night. Give me all of the details. 30,000 in the house?
Well, and Kay Adams was a headliner at the rally last night. Guys, I don't know if you knew that, but she helped open things up on the video board. Kay, it was an electric crowd. 30,000 people, as we talked about. Those tickets were given out in less than 2 hours. They were jacked up for the legends. Ken Anderson talked about Joe Burrow. He has everything in terms of the it factor. Willie Anderson was out there. I'm sure the Bengals could use a line of his caliber against Aaron Donald and the Rams this weekend. And then, of course, the current players spoke. Kevin Huber, who grew up in Cincinnati, got extremely emotional talking about what it means to play for his hometown team in the Super Bowl. Sam Hubbard, who also grew up here, said that the Bengals aren't going out for second place. There's one goal in mind. Joe Mixon got the crowd going into a Who Dey chant, and then Joe Burrow, well, he was drowned out by the crowd chanting MVP. I'll tell you this before I leave you. I'm standing in front of Paul Brown Stadium because, of course, it is departure day for the Bengals and for me. The buses are already here. Those buses should be pulling out at about 9 o'clock, and guys, they're going to get to L.A. and be hanging out with you pretty soon.
We cannot wait. Get here, please, Aditi. We cannot wait to welcome you. And Taylor, who's already here, as Kay said, in Manhattan Beach. Beautiful.
Very nice.
Manhattan Beach, the Rams side of opening night. Taylor, just set the table for us. You personally, what were some of your favorite moments we want to hear?
Kyle, there's very few things that I love more than opening night. Super Bowl opening night is one of the highlights of the year. You never know who's going to show up. You never know who's going to crash the party. Well, last night, it was Jarvis Landry. He stopped by to meet his former, stopped by to surprise his former roommate, teammate, and best friend, Odell Beckham Jr., and he wanted to congratulate him on making it to the Super Bowl. He said he was finally able to make his dream of making it there a reality. He also said it's unique, and it's kind of ironic because Odell's, one of his tattoos, one of Jarvis's favorite tattoos of Odell's, he said he feels like he's living it out right now. This is what it reads. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moment of comfort or convenience, but where he stands in the time of challenge and controversy. Landry finished the cameo by saying, "Go get us that ring." Another one of the highlights from last night was Matthew Stafford was asked which actor he would want to have play him if he was playing him in a Hollywood movie. He said, "Easy answer, Leonardo DiCaprio." Well, his wife, Kelly Stafford, responded pretty shortly after on Instagram and said, "I call dibs on playing his wife." I mean, who wouldn't want to play Jack from Titanic's love interest? Good call, Kelly.
I have no comment. Taylor Brashotti with the Rams. Aditi Kinkabwala with the Cincinnati Bengals as they make their way to L.A. for Super Bowl 56. We will be speaking to you throughout the morning here and then on Super Bowl Live and Total Access. Now, we heard from all the stars, as Taylor said, on Super Bowl 56 opening night. Joe Burrow, he has some advice for younger players, I guess, who want to be where he's at someday.
Focus on getting better. Focus on, you know, not... Don't have a workout and go and post it on Instagram the next day and then go and sit on your butt for 4 days and everyone thinks you're working hard, but you're really not. You know, work in silence. Don't show everybody what you're doing. You know, let your game on Friday nights and Saturday nights and Sunday nights show all the hard work that you put in. Don't worry about, you know, all that social media stuff.
And you've appointed many nicknames. Which one is your favorite?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. I have a lot of them. Just call me Joe. That's whatever anybody wants to call me is okay with me.
Okay, so I'm looking at this camera over here, and I'm watching that, and I know without even talking to Schrager that he's seen that bite like 17 times since it happened, and I just saw him watch it for the first time, and it still brought a smile to your face. What is so captivating about this Bengals team?
I mean, I think it's that right there. It's what Joe Burrow embodies. Is that quiet confidence, right? You know, I played in an era that you didn't post a lot of things on social media. You just put your work in and you tried to showcase your talents. And so it is so refreshing to hear Joe Burrow say that, because that's the way I feel. That's the way, you know, and I'm not knocking anybody who jumps on social media and wants to show you every single thing they do. Your preference, but you best believe you better bring it on Saturday, you better bring it on Sunday, you better bring it if you're a high school player on Friday nights. And that's what I love about Joe Burrow. Like, hard work, like, you can't replace that. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And I know it's such a cliche saying.
I like it.
But that's what that team does. Like, they fight. And it doesn't matter the situation. Mm-hmm. Like, Joe Burrow never seems bothered, never seems fazed. Like, we call Tom Brady the GOAT. Uh-huh. If Tom Brady gets sacked 9 times in the game, somebody's going to hear about it.
No doubt.
And sometimes other players don't respond to that, right? Some players don't respond to the yelling, screaming, cussing them out in their face. Some players respond to the, hey, bro, you'll get them next time. Yeah. And it's that positive encouragement you see from Joe Burrow to his teammates, and they feed off of that. And, I mean, I just love everything about this kid.
Quiet confidence.
Yes.
What do you think, Pierre?
July 1st is the last time Joe Burrow tweeted something on social
media. July 1st has been that long?
And the tweet was to all the kids in college who are looking for NIL deals. Like, this is a great opportunity for us. Like, us as a unit. Like, it's never about me. Mm-hmm. There is a selflessness, not only to Burrow, but to this entire team. I quote the great philosopher Lil Wayne.
What does he got?
Real G's move in silence like lasagna. Mm-hmm.
Lasagna.
And that is a saying that is basically move in silence. Let your actions speak for you. And that's what Joe Burrow was telling every youth out there. Like, you don't need to post the Instagram thing. You don't need to go on social media. Just do the work and let the walk do the talk. Yesterday, I'm watching all these interviews. Tyler Boyd is spending 10 minutes talking about the defense. That's a wide receiver. He could be a diva wide receiver. He's like, no, our defense is doing great things up front. We're mixing, you know, coverages. I listen to Zach Taylor. He's talking about the special teams coach, and he's talking about the quarterback's coach. And it's not about me, me, me. And I end it with, you know, the report from Aditi is fantastic, that Kevin Huber, the punter, is at the pep rally, and he's a Cincinnati native, and he's getting emotional talking about what this means for the city. It's a little hokey. It's a little bit corny if you're going to be a cynic, but they believe in it. They buy in, and it's nothing more perfect than this team from the Midwest being about all about each other and blue collar, and we are a unit, and everyone knows in this building, I'll fight for the other man, going up against the glitz and glamour of Hollywood in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I love the storyline, and I like this team a lot because they're all on the same page.
They really are. I felt a little corny yesterday. I saw an image floating around, is that they were painting the Super Bowl field over there, and they were painting a Bengals logo on the Super Bowl field, and it was very surreal for me. I think what's most captivating about this Bengals team is that it's a Bengals team. This team was a joke. Not this team. I'm talking about this franchise. For 30 years, like, they would be in the Jay Leno monologue. It was just corny. It was a bad joke. 30 years, they had a top 10 pick, top 5 pick 10 times. Top 5 pick 10. So every 3 years, you're drafting in the top 5. In 30 years, they had 7 playoff games. They won none. And now here they are in the Super Bowl, and I'm looking around our surroundings, and I'm reminded of the L.A. Clippers. Mm-hmm. The L.A. Clippers were a joke of a franchise. Terrible team, terribly run, never won anything. Bring a few players in. It's Lob City. It's Showtime. It's unbelievable. They're in the playoffs year after year. And I have another comp. I have a Hollywood comp. Matthew McConaughey was a joke. And I mean, on the tabloid, running with the shirt off, he's in Ghosts of Girlfriends Past and Failure to Launch. It's like the McConaughey. It was stock was down. He's talked about it. Like that, he's winning an Academy Award playing a man fighting AIDS all of a sudden. And he gets up in his acceptance speech and he's doing the all right, all right. He's doing the whole thing. And it was like, we had the McConaissance. I feel like this is the Benganaissance. It's a thing. Like, they went from being the Leno punchline to one game away from winning the whole damn thing. It's still surreal. I'm still pinching myself. The change that Taylor and Burrow et al. Have made, I'm proud of them in the corniest way as a guy. For all of our adult lives, Bengals, nothing. And now they're like the hottest ticket in town. It's an incredible turnaround.
They won 4 games last year.
Yeah, last year.
4 games, so they seemingly are in the Super Bowl. And how cool is it? I think the grounds crew from Cincinnati gets to come and paint.
They look great.
How cool is that?
That's amazing. Like,
they get to, I believe that's true. Maybe it's not, but I think it is, that they get to travel and do their thing on the biggest stage at SoFi. It's really magical. It's the fans, too, for me, right? Burrow effect, quiet confidence. We're talking about the team, but they do it for themselves. I've said that all along, and they're not about the opponent. It's not about the media. It's not about anything. But then the fan base is crazy awesome, and they're enjoying it. And they're not like, you're not talking about me. And they're not like entitled, like, we're the best. Why aren't you talking about it? They're just like, we're set. We are building in the right direction. We've made the right moves. We like our coach. We love Joe Burrow. We're taking like the lead from him. CJ Uzama goes out there yesterday, takes his brace off, like in the WWE, and like throws it in the air. It's this, why not us? It is us mentality that they've sort of embraced. And yesterday, this pep rally, I mean, it was unbelievable. I wasn't there physically, but I got to be there and be part of it. And when we talk about the fans and we talk about Huber and emotion and all of that, look at Bengal Jim. When I just quickly, he asked me something and I was like, let's hear it for Bengal Jim and look at the reaction.
I would say you are the ringleader, and can we all hear it for Bengal Jim putting together pep rallies and tailgates and bringing us all together? And it's such an incredible thing that you get to be there. And I know it's an emotional thing because that city means so much to you. Let's hear it for Bengal Jim.
All right, the most important, you're way too kind, Kay, way too kind, but the most important question everybody in Paul Brown Stadium and everybody in Cincinnati wants to hear right now, who are you cheering for in L.A.? Kay, right, you good?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, everybody, what a turnout!
Hey, talk.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about!
Yeah, you got him, Kay. All right, Kay, talk to us about the Bengals. Talk about. Okay, right? You good?
It was so epic and so fun. And there's 30,000 fans, and it sold out in 2 hours. They could have filled the entire stadium. They didn't. It was the lower bowl. Everybody showed up. I mean, I'm not from Cincinnati, so it was an honor to be a part of it and to be sort of embraced by that fan base. But, I mean, Bengal Jim, someone, Triggs, you know well, because you went through and sorted through thousands and thousands of fans. And he'll be here. He was going to be at the Super Bowl regardless. And look at this now.
He's the Bengals representative for Fan of the Year, all 32 teams. And that guy, to your point, it's not just going to the games. He hosts tailgates. He does things in the community, and he's emceeing their pep rally.
Let's hear it for Bengal Jim. Bengal Jim.
Nervous. I know they sold out a 700 ticket party the night before the Super Bowl, like a tailgate. It's on like the Grater's ice cream. People are driving a truck across the country to be here and be part of these festivities. There were fireworks, so they're embracing it and really making the most of the moment. And that's why I think they are compelling. Super Bowl 56. Oh, it's the club music, Traeger.
I love this one.
You love this. This is kind of cool plays, bro-y.
This is very cool. This is the best music we got in the whole track.
Like it?
Love it, yeah.
This might be the best Super Bowl ever. Bengals, Rams, Super Bowl 56 played right here.
Where are
at
we?
At SoFi Stadium. There's too many cameras. I don't know where to look there. That so one right here, overlooking this beautiful thing. NFL honors will be right back here. I saw our fearless leader, Mark Quinzel, giving you the lay of the land. It looks going to be awesome.
It's
right?
A pretty incredible lay of the land. It involves waterfalls and multiple entrances, and it is really like entering Emerald City. It's amazing.
It's incredible. Kyle Brandt, my name is Kay Adams. Thanks for hanging out with us today. D'Angelo Hall, Peter Schrager, all here. Our show brought to you by Ring Alarm and by this coat that I picked up at the mall yesterday, so I'm not freezing and wrapped up in the blankets like a mummy. It's time for the lead block.
The lead block.
Let's do it and welcome in Aditi Kinkabwala, who I can't can't talk about being cold because she froze her butt off in Cincinnati cheering on those Bengals as they make their way here to L.A. today. Taylor Bisciotti, also in Los Angeles, who I have it on good authority, you use three blow dryers to keep yourself warm on your assignment in Manhattan Beach. So L.A., warm during the day, cold in the morning and night. Bengals fans, pack appropriately. Aditi, 5 days to go. We're checking in on some injuries now. I keep talking about C.J. Uzomah. I want him out there Sunday. Will he be?
Well, he wants to be out there too, Kay. And remember, this is a high-energy, emotional leader type of guy for the Bengals. It's not only what he brings to the field as a tight end, as someone who could especially help chip against that Rams line. So where is C.J. Uzomah right now? He didn't do much work last week. He did, however, get on the bike Saturday, and the pool reporter said Saturday that he did indeed look good. Yesterday, he was hyped up. He was the last player to speak at the rally, and then he ran around the entire perimeter of the stadium high-fiving fans. Here's the issue, though. Is that just adrenaline? We won't actually see Uzomah on the practice field until Wednesday, tomorrow, when the Bengals finally do practice at UCLA. He's told us that this is the biggest game of his life and that he's going to do everything he can possibly to play. But again, it is an MCL sprain. It did look terrible when we saw it happen out in Kansas City. And for all the histrionics, Kay, for throwing the brace last night at the rally, it's still up in the air whether Uzomah will be good enough to go on Sunday.
We hope to see him. We're going to go now to Taylor in Los Angeles. Taylor, from one tight end to another. On the Rams side, what's the latest with Tyler Higbee?
Yeah, you know, head coach Sean McVay spoke yesterday, and he sounded less optimistic about Higbee potentially playing on Sunday. He said he is probably not even going to practice at all this week. So who's next man up for the Rams at tight end? Well, two of their tight ends are already on injured reserve. Then with the Higbee injury on top of it, it's really fourth man up for the Rams. That guy is practice squad player Kendall Blanton. He is no stranger to the Rams. He's actually been here for 3 years, but he's been cut by the practice. He's been on the practice squad. He was cut by the team three times. The only silver lining here is that he does know this Rams offense, this Rams playbook very well. But make no mistake, if Higbee can't go, this is a huge loss for this Rams offense. In Sean McVay's 11 personnel offense that he runs, Higbee is on the field for 81% of the plays.
That's well said by you. We got two banged up tight ends who want to play in the biggest games of their lives. Thank you so much, Aditi Kinkabwala. Safe travels to you. We'll talk to you throughout the morning here on a 4-hour Good Morning Football on Super Bowl Live after that. And then the Bengals will be in L.A. Taylor Bisciotti, stay warm. Let's talk Rams. They are, guys, the second team to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium. We know what happened with the Bucks last season. So, Kyle, different year. How much of an advantage is it for this L.A. squad to be playing right here?
Well, I'll ask my friends out here on the field. How'd you guys sleep last night?
Awful.
Peter, you get some nice sleep? Get some nice REM sleep?
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You slept right. Like a baby, though. Yeah,
I slept great. I can do it for some reason. The four of us here came from the Eastern time zone all the way over to Los Angeles. Cincinnati Bengals are playing the Eastern time zone, come all the way out to Los Angeles, and got to stay in some hotel. They got to worry in these strange roads with strange names and a strange stadium. I never would have thought it would be significant. I was poo-pooing on this. But last year, Peter was soapboxing the hell out of it. You really were, Peter. And I thought you were selling this thing about they're going to stay in their own beds and their own homes. And you really went for it. And then we saw what Tampa did last year. And look, maybe it's because the Chiefs had zero offensive linemen, but I really do think there was a comfort there. Last year, I was a cynic about this. This year, we're living it. Last year, we saw it. I do think it is significant. However,
you're doing your own tale of the tape.
However,
right,
yeah, I'm going to the other side. The Bengals are also in a shooter's rhythm.
Yeah.
A shooter's rhythm of this is what we do. Every single week, we get on a plane, we go to somebody's house, and we kick their ass. And we stay in a hotel, and we get on the bus. Every single week, we've done this. D'Angelo, creatures of routine, every week they've stayed in a hotel, they've packed a suit, they've had their game, and they keep winning. So, I think the only thing that I wish I could say for the Bengals, I wish they could have played this game a couple days ago on Sunday. The only thing I don't like about the Bengals is not that they have to travel. This team, they got to wait 2 weeks and their hands are going to get cold. Give them the ball now. In most situations, I would buy into it. I'd say, oh my God, going on the road, huge disadvantage against home team. This Bengals team might be different.
You know what, Kyle? I mean, I hear you. This Bengals team is different. But it's something about, you know, these creatures of habit, you know, us as athletes. Yeah. We love having things be the same. Okay. And so for this Rams football team, everything's the same. And I mean, you just mentioned it, right? Peter talked about it last year, talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think a big reason that they won that football game, you know, you had an offensive lineman.
Whatever.
You know, Kansas City was, you know, depleted on the offensive line. But at the same time, it's knowing that nothing really changes for you. You know, your family comes in. A lot of times you're at your house. It's just so much easier to manage everything else when you're home, when you already understand the traffic patterns, when you already understand the restaurants you know you already want to eat at. It takes all that other kind of stress and pressure away. We already know the football game is going to be the football game.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the easy part. It's that week of preparation leading up into the game. You know, like you said, Cincinnati, they're going to travel. They're going to go play a game. That's the easy part, is the game. It's everything else the week, all the distractions, sure, all the parties.
But I mean, the
it's
Rams
Super Bowl,
have, the
guys.
Rams have just as many distractions.
But
it's not like they're
and
going
they're
to,
used to
this
all
week
this
is
stuff.
Not normal to the Rams, even though they're home, Shriggs.
January 25th was when they beat the Buccaneers. Mm. They have slept in their beds and been in their homes
every day since
January 25th. We are going to be playing a game on February 13th, and they're going to be saying, all right, it's just the same time, same pattern. I know my pillows. I know my sheets. And, you know, I'm going to get up for a second.
Go on.
I'm going to do a little spontaneous. This stadium right here, okay? The Rams have not only played 8 regular season games here, they've played 2 playoff games here, they've played 2 preseason games here.
Okay.
They've played 12 games in that stadium. So when you walk into that colossal thing with the Oculus and the whole amazing bells and whistles, the Rams are like, that's our field.
Yeah.
The Bengals are walking into that stadium, and a lot of them might be like, this is the freaking Super Bowl, and look at this stadium. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of a factor. Mm-hmm. It's the home field, it's all the rest. They're going to be in the same hotel the night before the game that they spent every single night before every single regular season.
They know the Starbucks barista's name in the lobby.
They know it.
I know Kyle and Peter are big movie buffs.
Go on.
And so, Catch Me If You Can, right? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, Frank Abagnale.
His dad sitting there saying, why do the Yankees always win, right? And he's, I don't know, they got all these, you know, he was naming some players. Like, I was about to name Joe DiMaggio. I can't even remember what players he named. But his dad said, no, it's because every team who comes out there, they're mesmerized by the stripes.
Yeah, them pinstripes.
Them pinstripes,
right.
Man.
Uh-huh.
That's a pinstripe right there.
You guys are talking about what it's going to be like. The Rams, it's going to be a complete, it might be in this place, but it's in a completely different feeling. Obviously, it's an advantage to know, what was it? I know my pillows, I know my sheets. I like that show because I understand that very much. But it's not a determining factor in this game, right? So what do we think as far as how big of an advantage is it when you look? I mean, experience is way more of a determining factor, right? Because the Rams have that in spades versus the Bengals. That's what it is. You've got, 11 guys or 13 guys on this Rams squad that have had Super Bowl experience. One dude on the entire Bengals roster, that's more of a determining factor than playing here 12 games.
I don't know, Ken.
Really? Yeah.
I think that's a real advantage. That's their DJ too. On the mic. That is their introductions. Like, I think we saw it in Tampa last year.
Is it or does the it was it all the Bucks regular things that they didn't?
I
didn't
think it was the fans.
They weren't shooting the cannons.
The only difference
touchdowns.
Is the fans. Mm-hmm. In the fan in a Super Bowl mm-hmm. is not your fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's whoever buys the ticket. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, when you say the stadium, it, to me, it's not the stadium and, oh, yeah, I got a home field advantage.
But the Super Bowl is all fans.
It's just the comfort of understanding and knowing where everything is and not feeling stressed about anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember walking in stadiums, oh, I can't find a hot tub. I need a hot tub. I need a warm up.
Really?
You know, it's just not
Bengals
having
are going,
some
what the
of
hell is
comfort
Sepulveda?
That you
La Cienega? What are these streets?
The irony is this, though. But the Bengals are the home team, so I think, and I could be wrong, I think the Bengals are in actually the Rams' locker room.
No, and I said that. They
so,
would be in the guest locker room.
It's some weird,
it's not even weird, but I think, are we not giving the Rams are going to have to go through some stuff this week, too. I don't want to not give credit to the stuff that they're going to have to face. They're going to be facing the same distractions. You're home. You have more friends here. More people are going to want to go to the game. More people are going to want tickets, potentially. You still have to deal with media. You have to do media night. You have media availability. Mm-hmm. You're completely taken out of your creatures of habit thing. It's completely different for both teams.
Well, Kay, I've been here and I've enjoyed myself. I've been here since Saturday. And I was just telling y'all, I go to the hotel, I go to work, go to the hotel, go eat, go to the hotel, and I'm always kind of confined in the hotel. That's what I don't like about it, right? I can get out, I can walk around a little bit, but it's not fun. But if I lived here, I got friends, I got people I know.
You got your kids with you.
You got your kids, your family. That comfort for a lot of the players, is not what the Bengals are getting. Yes, they're getting it, but it's in tight in a hotel room. It's just, to me, I like the normalcy of things. So,
you think it could make a difference in this game?
I think it makes a huge difference.
At GMFE, I'd love to know everybody's thoughts on this. Rams, Bengals, 5 days away. Tom Pelissero joining us now. Tom, two big head coaching hires yesterday. Lovie Smith taking over the top gig with the Texans. Dennis Allen getting promoted by the Saints. What can you tell us?
Okay, it's the second year in a row that the Texans made the surprise hire of the entire head coaching cycle. After a lengthy search in which they interviewed a bunch of candidates, they looked inside their building and opted to promote their defensive coordinator, Lovie Smith, to the head coaching role. Now, my understanding is the Texans spoke with Smith soon after they fired David Culley, but his name didn't come up as a head coaching candidate until just a few days ago. For weeks, all signs pointed toward former NFL quarterback Josh McCown being Houston's head coach, even though McCown had never coached above the high school level. The environment shifted last week when former Dolphins coach Brian Flores, who was also a candidate in Houston, filed a class action lawsuit alleging racial discrimination in hiring practices. It was Texans general manager Nick Caserio who made the decision to pivot and hire Lovie Smith, the former Bears and Bucks coach who went to the playoffs three times in 11 seasons, including the Super Bowl after the 2006 season in Chicago. Meanwhile, a highly unsurprising hire by the New Orleans Saints, it is their defensive coordinator Dennis Allen, who will succeed Sean Payton as the head coach in New Orleans. Allen, the former Raiders coach, somebody who Sean Payton and a lot of other people in the league always felt deserved another shot, especially with the way that he turned around that defense in New Orleans. Another situation to monitor in the coming days. Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, once again shut out with head coaching jobs. However, I am told Bieniemy's contract in Kansas City is expiring. So you now have a situation where Bieniemy potentially could re-sign and go back to the Chiefs, or he could make a lateral move and potentially be a hot candidate for another team as a play-calling OC. Okay?
And now every team has a coach. We appreciate the details on all of that. More to come right here. We've got some front office perspective from Scott Pioli. He's hanging out. We've got Hall of Famers Charles Woodson and Calvin Johnson on the program. Michael Carter, young Jets running back after his rookie season. It's an exciting future ahead. And we're counting down to the Super Bowl next. Welcome back to Good Morning Football. One word, Megatron. Our next guest doesn't need an introduction. One of the greatest football players of all time, a Hall of Famer, some of the most insane highlight grabs you will ever see. Please welcome back to the breakfast table, former, unfortunately, because I'd love to see you still out there doing your thing, Calvin Johnson.
What up, Calvin?
Thank you for hanging out with us.
What's happening, folks? Good to be on. Great to see you.
Great to see you. I love that you're on the show like every couple months now that Nate Burleson's not here. And we tried to get you on the show every day when he was here and he said it couldn't happen. It's very interesting. I'm putting those dots together. Let's talk about your guy Stafford and this Super Bowl after 12 years in Detroit. Your guy is here on the biggest stage in his first season as a Ram. So I know you have a really special relationship with him. What does his success mean to you? And what do you think it or what does it feel like to see him on the verge of winning this thing?
Yeah, we're all on his coattail vicariously for sure. You know, definitely rooting for him. You know, Matthew, heck of a leader. You know, all the good times that we had together in Detroit, not just me, but all of us collectively as a team. You know, we're all rooting for him here because we know how hard he got worse. And he's just a heck of a guy. He's a heck of a pro. You know, you always want to see those guys that do it right, you know, have success.
If the former teammates like yourself know the real Stafford way better than I think the media does, and your voice speaks volumes on that, Calvin. We're rooting for him this weekend, too. Meanwhile, Cooper Kupp, you two separated at birth, basically the same person. Calvin Johnson and Cooper. Can't even tell you guys apart. However, you do have one thing in common. Your record-breaking 2012 season, Calvin, was nearly eclipsed by Cooper Kupp. This guy fell 18 yards short. So level with us. Were you watching that game? What were you thinking as he was creeping toward the record? And just tell us Calvin Johnson's thoughts on Cooper Kupp in general.
I definitely watched that. You know, I'm trying to watch Matthew as much as I can, even though on the East Coast we're not getting all of his games. But yeah, of course I watched it, man. Everybody was on my phone like, oh, this might be the game. I'm like, oh, shoot, this might be the game. He was going ham. I honestly expected him to get it because he was going absolutely bonkers out there.
All right, so Calvin, I got to ask you. You got Cooper Kupp. got OBJ, you got Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, so many receivers that are capable of breaking this game wide open at any given moment. Which group of wide receivers are you taking? Who do you like? And don't tell me the Matthew Stafford crew.
I'm definitely going with the Matthew Stafford crew, more than because of just the Matthew Stafford crew. We got some experience over there. You got Odell, you got Cooper Kupp, you know, and I love my guy Van Jefferson. You know, he's dealing with a little injury there, but that's Sean Jefferson's young seed. He was there watching us back in the day when he was like, you know, waist high in Detroit watching us practice, you know, so to see him catching touchdowns today from Matthew, you know, that's pretty dope.
It's cool. It's also cool because you've got a special relationship with the head coach of the LA Rams that goes all the way back to Atlanta high school football.
Here we go.
We'll go down this road. The Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw were high school teammates. Stat of the day. Back in 2003, Sean McVay beat out Calvin Johnson for the Georgia State Player of the Year. Marist High School in Brockhaven. What do you remember about McVay, the player back then? And do you feel like you were snubbed? I mean, even he says now, like, it was kind of ridiculous that he did.
Yeah, look at Cal. He's like, yes.
See, I don't remember anything. I mean, that would have happened if I get it now. I get it. If that happened in 2003, I graduated in 2004, so maybe that wasn't on my radar at the time. Because when I heard about it in my last year in the league, when McVay came into the scene, that's the first time I heard about it. I had never heard about it before that. And to that point, I mean, each year the seniors had like a Super 11 in Atlanta, like the top 11 players. He wasn't on that list, so I guess it makes sense now. He graduated in 2003. That makes sense. But I'll go for it.
That's it.
Everyone's so outrageous. The game tape, I think they got it right.
I think he was better.
He looks incredible, Calvin. Does he not?
I wasn't even looking at the game film because I was just so distracted by the comment. You know, I just get thrown off every time I hear that.
All right. Well, let's pull up another thing that you're never asked about. Calvin, about you coming back and playing again. No, listen, when you retire, people's perception is that it's earlier than you could have, you're always going to have to ask the question, could you come back? Would you come back? Barry got it for years, too. Never mind, will you? We know you're very happy in your life and your businesses. Could you? Next year, if out of nowhere, you decide you want to come back and play in the NFL, could you do it this fall?
I'll tell you what I told Matthew earlier this season. I was like, hey, man, I got a couple red zone routes in me. I could jump. Okay. I got half my vertical. But if I get out there running around, man, my ankle's going to swell up and turn into water balloons, man. It's not. I can't even sustain for a half.
Wow.
I love it. Calvin Johnson, we love that you stopping by the show. I know you're rooting for your boy, Matthew Stafford. I don't know if you'll be in the area. If you are, stop by our show whenever, and we'll tell Nate Burleson you say hi.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Great to see y'all. D-Hall, much respect. Great to see you, brother. Love playing against you, bro.
Absolutely, man. I loved it, too.
Joining us now is one of the all-time greats, the very rare heir of being a Super Bowl champion, a Heisman Trophy winner, and a Defensive Player of the Year. Please welcome to the show a friend of our show and one of the all-time greats, 2021 Hall of Famer, Charles Woodson.
Let's go, Charles.
What's up, Charles?
Let's go, baby.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How y'all doing, man?
Standard.
Mm-hmm. We're doing great. Your career is almost parallel with that of Tom Brady's. You guys both went to Michigan, and of course, you would meet in a playoff game in 2001 that was eventually dubbed, oh, I don't need to even say the name of it. You recently sat down with him to talk about one of the most controversial calls in NFL history. NFL Films produced it. The special was fantastic. What has been the reaction from that special with the two of you guys talking about that day?
Man, I think the reaction has been incredible, especially, you know, for, you know, the people and the fan bases that are behind both of those teams. You know, it kind of opens up old wounds for all of us Raider fans from that game, man. And, you know, how we were at the top, you know, we felt like we had that game in the bag. And then all of a sudden here comes that call. And all of a sudden it just lets all the air out of the bag. And then on the other side, you got the Patriots fans who, a lot of them, man, they come on my Twitter and say, oh, the Raider fans are still crying about the Tuck rule. Listen, we ain't crying, man. We just like to state the obvious. It was a fumble. Mm-hmm.
It was a fumble. Charles Woodson, great to have you on the show. It's an honor. Let's go to 2010. 2010. You and the Packers take down the Steelers. It was Super Bowl 45. What was that run like, and what made that Packers team so special? Because I'm hearing a lot of this Bengals team feels like a team of destiny. It feels magical. What about that Packers squad?
Yeah, and I think the parallel is the way that they came in. We came in as a sixth seed, and we had to go on the road every game and you know, basically the underdog and get ourselves to the Super Bowl with a chance to win. And the Bengals are kind of coming in with that same role as the underdog team. Nobody expected them to be there. You know, Joe Burrow, of course, is a stud, but everybody talks about the offensive line and them not being able to, you know, hold up. But still, they find a way to win. And I think for our team, I think the thing that made it so special was the amount of injuries that we had that year. I think we had 16 players that went on IR that year. And then even in the game, I go down right before halftime. Donald Driver went down. But we did what we had done all year, and that's go out there and win with whoever we had to put on the field. So I think this Bengals team kind of has some of that magic, but they'll definitely have their hands full going against this Rams team this Sunday.
They will, and we're looking at number 12, hold up the Lombardi. Let's just get into this week, Charles. Aaron Rodgers, you know how it's going to go. He'll probably come to NFL honors. He'll probably win the MVP. Who knows what he's going to say in his acceptance speech. And then he'll just go off for the offseason and welcome in another nuclear winter of us wondering what's he going to do. What do you think he's going to do, Charles? And what would you like to see him do?
Man, honestly, man, you know, from a fan standpoint and someone who's played with the Packers and, of course, organizationally, I think that, you know, you would want to see Aaron Rodgers back because we know how this league is, man. If you have a quarterback, you know, you have a shot. You look at the teams that are in the Super Bowl now, you know, they all have great quarterbacks. But I'm just looking at the situation, and if I'm putting on my GM hat, you know, and I'm saying, hey, what are we going to do this next season? And I look at the roster that we have. You know what? I'm thinking about trading Aaron Rodgers and see what I can get in return for him. Maybe I can get a quarterback that can help kind of steady my quarterback room and get some competition for Jordan Love. I'm telling LaFleur, hey, Jordan Love does not leave the building this offseason. We're going to get him prepared to play, because when I look at the team and this defense and the way that defense performed, they have a good team. And so they know that they'll be able to go into the next season being able to be solid on that side of the ball and then let the offense catch up throughout the season. So, and then also it'll help out, you know, in their cap situation. So if I'm Packers, you flirted with it a little bit last offseason, you know, life without Aaron Rodgers, you know, now you're really thinking about the future. So I'm thinking about trading Aaron Rodgers this offseason if I can.
Oh, I like that, Seawood. We might have to call Mr. Murphy there, the president up there in Green Bay, and get you another job, man. Let's talk about this Super Bowl 56, though. You got Jalen Ramsey. We know he's going to have his hands full trying to slow down Jamar Chase and those Bengal receivers. Same thing on the Bengal side of things. You got Jesse Bates, Von Bell going up against Cooper Kupp and OBJ. How did you approach getting ready to go up against elite receivers in this league?
Well, for me, you know, what I try to tell, you know, a lot of the young players, you know, don't get yourself necessarily caught up in the matchup in terms of, you know, who their star receiver is. You know, I don't know how they're going to, you know, deploy Jalen Ramsey in this game. You know, he moves around a lot, so I don't know if he'll be, you know, locked in on Chase all game. But I tell guys, man, go in and play the offense. You know, play. It's all about personnel. It's all about situational football, and it's all about formations. You know, the receivers got to go out there and run what play is called out there. So if you have a great grasp of the offense and what they like to do, where receivers are lined up in certain plays, then you play the offense, and that gives you the advantage. And then the other thing I tell them is if they do something that you're not quite prepared for, maybe you didn't see it on film, then you just got to go out and be a football player. So in that regard, man, just go out there and play the game that you know how to play, and that the rest will take care of itself. I think the other thing is that in terms of a Cooper Kupp and these guys in the slot receiver position, you got to run some bracket type of coverages, because things get wide open in the middle of that field. And these guys are running these option routes, man. It gives them time to, you know, get open and find space. So they'll all have their hands full trying to, you know, guard these stud wide receivers. But, hey, just go out there and play football, man. The rest will take care of itself.
Charles, it was always fun watching these Raiders win these games and talk to you afterwards. You were really on this ride. You had such an incredible career with the Packers, but I think most people associate you with that silver and black. You're as close to the Raiders now than you've been since your playing days. What was your reaction to the coaching moves? Telling Bisaccia, thank you, but we're moving on, and then bringing in Josh McDaniels and his host of New England buddies to come down there to Vegas. What's the reaction from Charles Woodson?
Yeah, we'll give Coach Bisaccia some credit because he certainly gained the respect and the love of these players, and a lot of them, you know, were kind of campaigning to bring them back. But I think Mark Davis knew that he had to hit a home run in this coaching cycle, and he had to go out there and get the best fit to take this team into the future. And I think the best thing about hiring Josh McDaniels is him coming in and basically saying, you know what, Derek Carr is our guy. You know, not coming in and kind of, you know, waffling, saying, yo, we got to look at the film, we'll see what happens, we don't know. No, no, no. You know, Derek's our guy. So you come in, you know, with that stance and that mindset, and I think it just gives everybody, you know, some confidence going into this system or this season that we have our quarterback, we're going to build off that, and we're going to build a winner. And he's a great offensive mind. I think that only helps Derek Carr, which ultimately helps the team. So I'm excited about that. And then all of the other, you know, front office moves they made. I think Mark did a great job, and I don't think he gets a lot of credit for you know, his knowledge of the game and you know, running that organization. So great job by Mark Davis.
It means a lot coming from you, of course. You're a Hall of Famer, and on Thursday, we find out which players get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame thanks to Ford. Fans now have a chance to be represented in the Pro Football Hall of Fame through the Ford Hall of Fans program. So you're joining us to announce the three fans. This is all very exciting. The three fans that are advancing to the finalist round and going to Super Bowl 56. So take it away, Charles. Go for it.
Yeah, so the Ford Hall of Fame, Hall of Fans, you know, and the NFL, man, they've created this program that really incorporates the fans into the game by giving them a display within the Pro Football Hall of Fame and put them right next to all of the legends of the game. So I'm proud, you know, to partner with Ford on this program, and it's my pleasure to announce the three fans started advancing to the finalist round going to Super Bowl 56, and those fans are: from the New York Giants, Amy Nolan. Woo! From the Chicago Bears, Terrence Young. And from the Detroit Lions, Michael Banks. So congratulations to those fans. You guys, you got a chance, man. And this weekend, you'll find out who will be inducted into the Ford Hall of Fans. And join me and all of the legends of pro football in Canton, Ohio. So congratulations to you three fans.
Wow, that's awesome. How cool is that?
It's amazing.
How cool is that? Charles, look at it. There's Terrence, the Bears fan.
I've met Terrence. Yeah. Terrence is awesome.
Man, that's three fan bases that could use a little bit of love.
That's it.
Right.
Three
that's
fan
right.
bases.
The TLC.
Mm-hmm. Charles, you've been so good to our show cool. this season. We enjoyed your whiskey.
Hell
we
yes,
enjoy
we
your wine. And we enjoyed having you on the show today. Congrats on all you're doing with Ford as well.
Homage to the OG.
I appreciate it, man. Hey, D'Angelo, man, we'll get you some wine and whiskey. I ain't going to leave you out, man. I ain't going to leave you out.
I appreciate it, big dog. Yes, sir, OG.
My man.
Thanks, Charles.
Appreciate you guys.